There's still a lot of problems. There's a lot of attacks. There's a lot of storms. But God knows what He is doing. And in His time, breakthrough and victory and deliverance and healing is on the way for you. You may be in a time of storm now, but every storm passes. You may be in darkness now, but every darkness gives way to light. You may be in a battle now that you see no way out, but one day the horn will sound and the battle cry will end, and God will say, "Here I present to you your victory." In His time, not our time. We must rely that God knows what He's doing, when He's doing it, and trust that He controls all time anyway. We can't control anything that really happens. We just trust God to ordain our steps, ordain our lives, and we follow Him with a full heart of faith and obedience, saying, "God, I don't understand it, don't have to, but I trust you. I don't understand a lot of things in life, but I sure trust it. I don't understand the air, but I sure trust it that I'm breathing right now. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I know we're in place. I can't understand gravity. I can't understand how we're sitting in the middle of space with nothing holding us up, but I trust it's happening because here we are being held up by the hand of God. In His time, God's got a season and a purpose and a time for each of us. And if we could trust that God knows what He's doing and that everything in our lives happens, as Romans tells us, for good to them that love God according to His purpose. See, it's in those times of despair that we look to God. It's in those times of storm that we take shelter. It's in that time of darkness we try to find any light. See, it's those things in our lives sometimes are positioning us and pointing us and strengthening us for a greater future that we wouldn't have otherwise. There are things that come into our lives that truly make us stronger. Like the old song you hear on the radio, "What don't kill you makes you stronger." You know, I know I didn't sing that exactly in the right tune, but "What don't kill you makes you stronger." Well, you know what? We are here and we are alive. And if little Zuri can go out of church and say, I'm happy. What'd she say? "I've had a great day." I mean, you ever run into those folks that you run into at Walmart and you say, "How you doing?" Says, "I'm glad to be above ground." Maybe some of y'all say that. Especially you senior citizens. I play. Say. Just to be above ground, you know, is a blessing. Just to wake up is truly a blessing. And God has such great timing. I believe that God shuts doors He won't shut. And He opens doors He wants opened. And sometimes the answer prayer may be no, and sometimes it may be yes. But in any given moment, it's an answer prayer. That's why I wanted to sing that song, "Keep Me in Your Will." God, keep me in Your will. Keep me in Your plan. Don't put me where I want to be. Put me where You want me to be. Because where You have me is the right place I'm supposed to be. That's the best place I can be. Where You position me is the best possible place I can be. Someone texted me yesterday and said, pray for my sister. She got a temporary job, but pray it turns into a permanent job for her. So I text back. I said, I'll pray God's will be done in that situation. Because, see, we may think we want something so bad. You know, I remember Dad years ago. I'm going to tell on Dad. Not too personal. But years ago, Dad wanted this pickup truck. I was a little boy. Never forget it. We went and looked at this old pickup truck. I don't know, 77, 78 Chevy pickup truck. I mean, I don't know. This is back in the 80s. He goes, "Look at this truck." And I'm sitting in the car with Mom, and he tries to crank that truck, and that thing wouldn't have crank. And, finally got it started, Then I think it cut off, and he got it cranked up again, and da-da-da. You know what? Dad bought that truck. Why would he buy that truck? Because he wanted that truck. He didn't step back. I don't know if he bought that night or not, or slept on it. I don't remember. He always taught me to sleep on things, So, Dad, from now on, sleep on things. But he bought that truck, and that truck, I remember as a little boy looking at the car, looking at my mom, saying, "He's really going to buy that thing?" I mean, I knew it wasn't a good truck to buy, and I'm a kid. It's important that it runs, It's just important to run. So anyway, he bought that truck because it's something he just, we get those things that we want. I'm the same way. We bought a minivan years ago. Bought it the same day, went and looked at it. And things happen that kind of checked me. But what did I do? I overrode that because it looked good. It was pretty. We're just going to get it. I don't care what happened. We're going to get it. And then 2 weeks later, engine blew. I've been there. I know. See, do we really want our will or do we want God's will? Because God knows. I mean, God's trying to say, look, I try to start from getting that van. You know, the truck wouldn't start. That's kind of a clue, kind of a key, but go ahead if you want to buy it. Sometimes we get out of God's will because we're pushing for something so much, and then we get ourselves in trouble. Maybe it's not God's will. You know, maybe it's just not God's will. You know, there have been people I have counseled through the years, premarital counseling, and there have been a few I've talked to and didn't feel real good about and says, you know, I don't, something, you know, and try to talk because there's just something, just because it may not be God's will. You know, there's things that just aren't God's will. We can push that all we want and say, God, I'm going to do it anyway. Fine, but you're going to reap that seed, that harvest, I mean. You're going to reap it. So do I want God's will or do I want my will? Now, there's a time to everything. The book of Ecclesiastes, if you can be finding that, this is the book right after Proverbs to help you out. So if you know where Proverbs is, the very next book. This is Solomon talking in Ecclesiastes about seasons, about time. And you know, everything has a purpose and a rhyme to it. You know, I'm so glad in North Carolina that we have seasons. All states don't have that. Florida sounds good to most people. I understand that. Florida sounds good. But you know what? They don't have no seasons. I mean, not really. It's kind of always the same. Kind of always warm. Always, you know, I like sometimes being able to walk outside and blow smoke without a cigarette. That's pretty cool. Love that. There's something about walking in that brisk 30-degree weather that just feels good just to get out and walk in it. I love the fall. How much tourism we lose in the mountains if all of a sudden there was no fall. There's a bulletin came out from West North Carolina. Attention, no more fall. No more changing of leaves. They'll be green all year long. Millions of dollars will be lost. Who wants to go see green leaves? You know, unless you're eating a salad. We want to see fall. Then you got the snow of the winter, which snow is beautiful. Then you got spring, which begins starts the dogwoods and the rose bushes that only for a very short time bloom, just a very short time. And then you have, of course, the heat of the summer. You're whining because it's 25 degrees. Then you're whining because it's 95 degrees. Then you're whining because there's pollen in the fall. And you're whining because you got stung by a bee in the spring. We are never happy, are we? But thank God there are seasons of our lives, just like there are natural seasons. And many states don't have those seasons. So here's Solomon's talking in Ecclesiastes 3. Have y'all found it? Chapter 3, verse 1. And what we're starting out with, he just gives contrast parable, kind of comparisons here of time for this, time for that. And we're not going to go in detail about this. I just want to read this through so you can get a theme of what he's talking about here. Verse 1, to everything, now I will expound on verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time. Everything, there's a season and a time and a purpose under the heaven. You know what this is telling us? That every moment of your life is being calculated and accounted for by God. Every moment. Every season was not a surprise to God. We like the good seasons. We like the apple festivals, right? And the snow tubing in the mountains. We like the good stuff in the seasons. We like the swimming pools in summertime. We want the good stuff in our seasons. But there's also bad stuff in our seasons. There's also bad storms that come. There's seasons that we don't like as much. But God says here there is a purpose to every season under heaven. There's a purpose. What could possibly be the purpose of me going through hell? I can't answer that. But there's a purpose to it. What's the purpose of why I'm going through all this junk? There's a purpose to it. See, every season we encounter, we must rely upon God's help. And sometimes we don't lean on God until we're in a season we can't answer or a season we can't figure out or a season that's not so good. And then all of a sudden we start looking to God and turning to God and seeking Him for a deeper understanding or relationship. We begin to realize, God, I can't get through the season without You or apart from You. In Your time, everything's for a reason. Why am I so lonely right now, God? There's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. God, why is nothing working out right now? There's a purpose. There's a reason for it. God, why did You shut all those doors? Why? All the whys we ask, God is saying there's a reason for every season under the heaven. We may not see it, but there's a reason, and there's a purpose in our lives. Verse 2, he starts comparing things. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Here's the good news. You may be weeping and mourning today. You may have lost your laughter and lost your dance. But guess what? Just as much as there's a season of mourning, there's a season of rejoicing. As much as there's a season of not dancing, there's a season of dancing again, where your feet get happy in the Lord and say, I'm moving on again out of this dark place into the place you call me to walk in, because I'm not going to always stay in the season I'm at. Every season turns. Every season folds over. Every season goes forward. So will you, church, in your bad season. There will be a better season that breaks open for you. A breakthrough, a time of healing, a time of laughter, a time of joy, and a time of dancing. In God's time, that will happen. Wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, and He will renew your strength. You will soar as the eagle. Wait upon the Lord. It's your season, and it won't always be the way that it is. Sure, there's bad stuff, but there's good stuff on the way. Hallelujah. Sure, there's sorrow, but there's joy. As the Bible says, that weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is going to be another sunrise in your life. Whether you're 30, 40, 50, 80, or 100, there's going to be a sunrise in your life. The sun has not stopped rising above your lives. It is still there, bright and shining. Let us embrace. Here's what we got to do. We got to embrace the season that we're in. Embrace it and thank God for it. And say, God, I'm in this season. I don't understand it, but I know you're in this season with me. And I know it's going to give birth to a greater dawn. I know it's going to give birth to a greater cause. I know it's going to give birth to something I can't yet see or touch. But one day, I'll look back and realize, yes, God, my season has broke open. Yes, God, victory is on the way. Yes, God, my darkness is no more dark, but your light has illuminated my darkness and changed it forever. So I wait patiently while I'm in this desperation. I'll wait patiently while I'm in this season, and I'll just trust you, God, and I'll let you ordain my steps and cause me to have a greater purpose than what I can even see for myself. No storms are ever going to be out of our lives completely. There's going to be stuff come in, but it's what we do in that season. It's how we embrace it. What do we do in the wintertime when it's cold and we go outside? What do we put on? A coat, if you're smart. Now, I know you got some of these, you know, yo-yos and stuff that, oh, I'll never get cold, man. I'll wear, you know, Bermuda shorts and a t-shirt that's 10 degrees because I'm tough. You're a moron. I mean, it's cold. Put some clothes on. So what do you do in the summertime? You put on your shorts and flip-flops, right? Because it's cool, you know. You prepare yourself whatever season you're in, don't you? You prepare yourself. Every retail store starts putting out winter clothes. Then they start putting out, before long, you already have them out. You start seeing spring clothes. You start seeing all the little summer dresses for the girls and the shorts for the guys and the flip-flop racks in the middle of the aisle and the banana boat island with suntan lotion sitting on it, you know, preparing for the season. Lather up, you'll be in the sun. Get prepared. Get ready. We prepare for the seasons that we're in. For my wife, it means getting a bunch of allergy medicine about March. Start stocking the cabinet with allergies so she don't sneeze her head off for 3-4 months. Preparing for the season. Well, you know what? Let's prepare for what season we're in now and say, okay, I don't like where I'm at, but God, the good news is you're here with me. You're in this season. I'm not walking alone. You see my broken heart. You see my desperate place. You see my desolate life. You see the void emptiness. You see the hopelessness and the helplessness, but you're there with me. If we could be mindful that God is in our season with us, He's going to get us through that season. We can use so many examples in the Bible, church, of God being our season. You know, I think about when the storm hit the boat, the disciples and Jesus on the boat, and they were across the other side, and the storm came, and Jesus was down there sleeping, trying to get some rest. Remember, He was man, fully God. He was tired. He was resting. A storm rose up, and the rain, the waves were beating the boat, you know, and the water is going up and down, and the disciples start freaking out. They wake Him up. Master, Master, wake up. How can you sleep through all this? How can you sleep? Don't you understand? We're going to perish. He's like, what, are you kidding me? You're not going to perish? I've already gave the word we're going to the other side. I've already said that. We're going to cross to the other side. This storm's not going to affect my destiny for you. This storm's not going to alter what I got planned for you in the future. We're going to cross over and make it just like I said. See, storms, I think we let battles and storms stop us from living and define our lives and put us in this box and saying, I can't move forward. No, we keep marching. We keep going forward. We keep praising God. We keep believing God. We keep confessing God. We keep doing what God calls to do. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. What does an army do? It marches. It goes forward. It keeps going. It goes in the trenches, in the battlefield. It keeps firing the artillery. It keeps on the offense. It does not let up. It keeps going forward until the enemy is captured and destroyed. We as God's people cannot let seasons of defeat keep us bound, but we must come out of that and say, no, I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm tired of being where I'm at. God, it's time I'll be pulled out and go where you've called me to be. Depression must fall and all this defeat must end. I am tired of letting this define me. In your time, God, I'm coming out. And so in the meantime, I'll praise you all the more. I'll give you thanks all the more. I'll praise you. The Bible says in Proverbs 34, let his praise be continually upon my lips. Lord, let your praise continually be upon my mouth. In the good and the bad, when I can't see it, when I do see it, your praise continually in my mouth. For you are God and you change not. Whether I'm in a bad place or a good place, on the mountain or in the valley, you change not. And in your time, there's a breakthrough coming through for each of God's children, because he's not done yet. The journey's only begun. Glory to God. Just trust him and don't let your season define you. Trust him. There are people all over the world that are searching for answers from God. Searching. What's the purpose of this, God? What's the purpose of my life? What's the purpose of why I'm here? Why do I just live and have all these problems and then, you know, die? And, you know, and nobody truly can answer that. All I know is this. Each one of us are here because there is a purpose for our lives. We weren't born accidentally. I says many times, there is no child that was a uh-oh moment in God's eyes. None. Maybe in mama's eyes, oh my gosh. And daddy's eyes, you know, if you can find them, oh my God. But not in God's eyes. Thank you, honey. That's really girly. Excuse me. You know what? There's no uh-oh moment in our lives either. When Joe Brown was born in that little tiny hospital in Ohio, I'm just assuming. God says, that's supposed to be. That's supposed to be. I was born at the old Davis Hospital, one of the most haunted places now in Iredell County, they say. Thanks, Mama. I was born in the old Davis Hospital in 1971. And when I came into the earth and my mother held me in her arms, that was by the approved, ordained hand of God. I'm here for a purpose. Each one of you are here for a purpose. Don't let the enemy rob you of your purpose. What's my purpose here? All I do is fail. All I do is mess up. All I do is this. I'm no good to nobody. See, that's all lies of the devil. No, you're here because God created you for a reason. So what we have to do is figure out, God, in the season of my life now, where do you want me? What do you want me to be in the season you have me? God, where do you want me to go? Why do you want me to serve? You remember Moses? Moses was 80 years old before we ever saw the promised land. He finally got there at 80. He was a senior citizen when he got the promised land. He was middle age when he started. Talking about a rough road, my age when he started, and, you know, some of y'all's age when he ended. Wow, what a journey. 80 years old before he finally saw the promised land, but God allowed his eyes to see the journey God had brought him on. Sarah was 90 years old when she had a child. Elizabeth, who born John the Baptist. Her womb was barren. She was old in age. But God said, in my season, she can have children. See, God can change our seasons at any moment because he controls our seasons. We don't control our, we think we do. We make all these great plans, right? We find out, you know what? It didn't really work out the way I planned. You know, one thing I'm so thankful for, I'm thankful for people that are able to have good health in their later years to be able to enjoy some time to travel, time to enjoy life. many people don't get that chance to do that. They plan all their lives to do that, and then they die early or have sickness for the last 20 years of their lives. And, you know, we make all these plans thinking, you know, we're going to fit our goals into this instead of just saying, God, it's your time, it's your season, put me where I'm supposed to be right now. Think how many mistakes we would make if God allowed us to move into our own seasons. Gosh. I mean, think about this. If y'all could have any wish right now, a magic genie popped up. Not Genie Alexander, but another genie. Popped up. Says, I give each of you one wish, anything you want. I wonder how many of those wishes would line up with what God's will was. Probably none of them, would they? I wonder if any of them would hit the jackpot and God say, yep, that's what I was going to say. I doubt it, because we probably wish for, let's see, the number one thing would be what? Any guesses? Yes! Act like y'all a bunch of hypocrites. Like, I don't buy it. Let the young people speak up. Money! That's number one thing. I want money. Show me the money. Show me the money, genie. Another thing we may wish for would be health. I don't ever want to die, Lord. Remember that Twilight Zone episode where the guy had immortal life? And he said, you can live forever. And he outlived all his friends and family, and he got boring, and he could throw himself off a bridge. He couldn't kill himself. Jumped off a building, you know, went to electric chair. Nothing worked. He had eternal life. How boring. No thrill, no pain. Nobody wasn't going to die. We wish for things we think we want, but we find out it's really not what we need. And God knows what we need. Whatever season you're in, God knows that. Now, I know the devil attacks our seasons. I'm not saying everything in our season is from the hand of God. What I'm saying is that God's got our seasons in control. And that through our storms and through our attacks, God's got us. And he's going to carry us through to the other side. A time to weep. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. A time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And look at verse 11. He, talking about God, hath made everything beautiful in his time. God's made everything beautiful in his time. You know, even for those that pass on, for the saints of God that go on, it's a mourning time for us. But in their life, they got such reward that they waited for and believed for. We mourn over a casket, but they're rejoicing in the kingdom. Because in God's time, that was what was set for them, to go on and walk in their inheritance. Nobody wants to be sick all the time, in pain all the time, miserable all the time. So God says, in my time, it'll all be better. We tend to think as death being an unanswered prayer, possibly. We pray for someone to live and they die anyway. Well, God, you didn't hear me. I pray they live. Why'd they die? Everything's in God's time. And it's right for that person's life. You know, we don't know what's around the next corner, but God knows exactly what's around the next bend. He knows exactly what's in our future. God already knows where I will be in 20 years, where you will be in 20 years. He already has all that knowledge mapped out, knows exactly. So you know what happens? He ordains our steps, and we have to go through those seasons to get to those seasons. It's a journey. And so there's some bad seasons, but during those bad seasons, you know, you ever been in an airplane where you hit turbulence? That's a terrible feeling. I hate that. Oh, my gosh. You'll be in a plane, it starts doing that. It drops on you like a roller coaster, you know, or, you know, it starts bouncing a little bit, and that's not a good feeling. Terrible feeling. But you know what? It may bump and it may drop a few times hitting that turbulence, whatever it's going through, but guess what? It gets on through it, and it lands safely. We may bounce around with some turbulence in our seasons. We may bounce around a lot. But God, the pilot, he's got full control where we land. And I promise you, church, I promise you, as a Christian, God has our best interest at heart. And he is going to see you through to victory. It may not be the victory that you thought. It may not be the result you imagined. And I've learned that. It's like I said before, when you think God's going to do something a certain way, just crumble it up and throw it away. It never works that way. God comes out of left field. I mean, God sometimes just comes out of nowhere, shows up in such an unusual way because he wants all the glory and credit for what's been accomplished, that we can take no credit. He wants to just wow you. I'm with you. Just trust me. Some of you have had some hard seasons. Some of you may be in a hard season now. Some of you are in a season that you're just tired of being there and you want to end. So what do? You just stay and be faithful in that season and say, God, in your time, God, you'll show up. Wasn't it much more of an impact for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead than it was to heal him when he was sick? What did all those around him see? Here's a man been dead 4 days. Think about that. Can you imagine? We bury somebody in a church cemetery. Y'all are all there. We bury them. You know, I say ashes to ashes, dust to dust, blah, 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 blah. Boom, let's go home. Let's go eat chicken. Okay, we're done. And then 4 days later, y'all come on up here. And y'all were there. Y'all saw the person buried up there in the cemetery 4 days ago. We're going to raise him from the dead. What's more impactful? That'd be pretty impactful, wouldn't it? Talking about the walking dead coming alive, right? Wow. Jesus is making a greater point because he was the resurrection and life. He didn't need to be there on time to heal him because he could still heal him. See, God's not limited by boundaries or measures. He's God. Can you imagine being on the scene when he walked to that tomb and said, roll that stone back, and the sisters are saying, Jesus, he's starting to stink. Been there 4 days already. Roll the stone back. I mean, Lazarus was gone, his soul out of his body, 4 days. And he hears the voice of God, Lazarus, come forth. And we didn't read that story this morning, but if you read that story of Lazarus, he came out of the tomb still wrapped in his grave clothes. They wrapped you like a mummy back then. So I could see him coming out like this. Somebody rang. You called. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, grave clothes, loose him. And the bandages that bound him in his death had to give way to his life. And the grave clothes fell off. And Lazarus walked out. You're talking about a brother and sister with a reunion. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. 4 days he'd been dead, and Jesus brought him back. He wasn't late. He was working on his timetable in his season because he had a greater purpose. A greater purpose. Everything Jesus did was for a purpose and for a reason. And everything was in his timing. You think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul before. I think about this story in Acts when he's so mad at Christians. He's not a believer, of course. He hates Christians. He's just, you call him an atheist, I guess, at this time. I don't know what he was, but he just hated Christians. He is marching along on the road to Damascus to arrest those that believe in Christ. He got papers from the king to say, can I arrest anybody that doesn't, yes, you can arrest them. But on his way, in his anger and his wrath and his snarling and his poor attitude toward Jesus, a light shined upon him and knocked him to his knees and called him by name. Why would God use somebody like that? That was a weird season, wasn't it? I mean, Paul wasn't trying to search God. He wasn't being humble. He wasn't trying to, find out the truth for himself. He was an angry, bitter, nasty man. But God called him in that season to save his soul. See, stuff comes out of nowhere sometimes. I mean, sometimes God just moves, it seems like, out of nowhere. So you hang on. Just because the last 6 months been the way they are don't mean tomorrow will be. It don't mean Tuesday will be or Wednesday will be or next week will be. You don't know what God can do. Trust him in the season you're in and embrace the season you're in and say, God, I'm going to be faithful to where you have me. I'm going to keep moving forward, trusting that there's an exit for me down the road. You got an exit for me, and I'm going to get through this storm. I'm going to get through it. God, you're going to deliver me and set me free. I'm going to get through it. We got to recognize God controls the time, though. We don't. We put God on time. I've had people actually tell me, you know what, I've done this, and I prayed, and God, I quit praying because God ain't done it. I used to give the church, but God ain't blessed, so I quit giving the church. Look, we're not on our own schedule. Sometimes things happen Well, all times, I believe, for God's people, they happen because God is trying to protect and help and lead us into the right season for our lives. We make too many mistakes when we quit, get off God's schedule. God, I know it sounds so cliche, it just sounds so elementary, it sounds so non-accountable to say, well, just trust God. But trusting ourselves sure hasn't got us where we want to be. Sure, trusting our decisions, sure trusting where we, it doesn't get us where we want. So, God, I'm going to try you. God, I'm going to put my hand in your hand. Go to verse 14 here. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. I know what God does is forever. You know what this gives me hope for? God established the kingdom, didn't he, for us? God died for our sins forever. God rose from the dead forever. God ascended forever. God established his throne forever. And God's going to have us in his kingdom forever. What God does is forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. In other words, we're not going to alter what God's done or what God can do. We're not going to alter God's plan. It's not going to change. We're not going to change God's mind or change his ways because we get in our the way. What nothing can add to it, nothing can take away from it. What God has done, it's established. Just like all this, and I understand, this is not a political statement at all. I'm just telling you, it's how I feel. I understand that we should take care of our earth. I'm all about Mother Earth. Home. Gotcha. Okay? We shouldn't be throwing trash out on the side of the roads and littering. I understand that. Okay? We shouldn't be, you know, doing all this stuff. I understand that. But you know what? The sun, the moon, the stars, and this earth are all kept by the hand of God because God established it. And there is nothing that man can do that can destroy what God has established. Do you hear me? God established it. Doesn't matter. Well, the sun's going to burn out in 2 billion years. Well, I'm not going to be here more likely. You know, I'll be a real senior citizen by then. I'm not going to be here. And guess what? It's not going to blow up unless God says blow up. So, God's the only one that's got the red button to push. He's the Pentagon, right? And only God has that one red button. And it says above it, these little words, God only. God only can push. And even man tried to push that button. Well, I'll show it. It ain't going to work. Defect. Access denied. It ain't going to work. God controls what's in place because what God does is forever, including our lives, we're forever. You know that? We're forever. Our souls are forever. Get one more scripture. This is Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 verse 6, 7. This is after Jesus had rose from the dead. He'd walked for about 40 days on the earth. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. He's having his last conversation with his disciples before he ascends. Here's what he says. When they therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're wondering, you rose from the dead. Are you going to now restore it and be king? Look what he says in verse 7. He pretty much just told us how it is. Pretty clear. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Lord hath put in his own power. Okay then. Jesus. So what does that mean? We don't have the next verse up here, but if you go to the next verse, that's when he says, you shall receive the Holy Spirit will come upon you, blah, blah, and you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me and all the part. What he's saying is, it ain't up to you of when I restore the kingdom. It's really none of your concern. That's in my time. That's in my season because I know what I'm doing. So in the meantime, what do we do in the season before that happens? He told them, he said, be my witnesses. Go to all the different places, minister, preach, be an example, be a light. Be busy about your Father's business until that happens. Just work. Just serve. Just do what I called you to do, period. We don't have to know when God's going to move. We just got to go, God is going to move. We don't have to have the schedule, church filled out, when God's going to do this and do that. We just got to trust he's going to do it. He's going to watch us. You know, Connie Malina and that wreck they had. God knew all of that was going to happen. It didn't catch God by surprise. Well, why'd it have to happen? Well, nobody knows. I just know it's a great testimony. It's a great inspiration to all of us, how that even in tragedy, God keeps us. We can take good out of anything if we look for it deep enough. We truly can. Each one of us here today have problems. We have trials. We have situations. There are some of you that are having major marital problems or family problems or children problems, financial problems, health problems. Some of you are sitting here in pain today as I preach, and you're wondering, when's the pain going to end? When's the storm going to pass? When's my child going to straighten out? When's my husband going to be different? When's my marriage going to work? You know, when's my bills going to finally, you know, when's the struggle going to be over where I can actually pay my bills? Whatever the issue is you're battling, life issues. God has everything in His season and in His time. So what do? We trust Him where we're at and say, God, I'll be faithful and stay with You and just walk and hold Your hand as You lead me through the darkness. I'm just going to hold Your hand, God. I'm going to follow You. I'm just going to hold Your hand. Just don't let go of me, God. That's what we should be praying. God, don't let go of me. Just hold on to me. I don't like being in this place. You know, hold on to me. What do you do when you're in the dark room and you grab somebody's hand, try to lead them, right? You try to lead them and hold my hand. I'll get you through this dark room or whatever. I'll hold you. I got you. Your kids in the parking lot, you grab their hand. Why? You know, cars. Here, give me a hand. Give me a hand. I'm holding you. My kids used to hate that. They hate that. Jamie still hates not take his hand in the parking lot. Not playing. Hates that. You know, holding a hand. Why do you do that? See, when I take Melanie's hand, you know what I'm telling her? I've got you. As long as you don't let go, you're going to end up where we're supposed to end up. Because I've got your hand. You're going to be where we're supposed to be. I've got you. God's hand has got us, church, in our season. He's got you. Be faithful in the season you're in and trust in God's time. In God's time, it's going to work out. You're where you're at, church. It's not by accident. I know we sow seeds that we have to reap. I understand that. I truly believe in that, too. I'm not one of these people that believe you don't reap what you sow. I believe in grace, but I don't believe that grace makes everything go away. I believe in the earthly reaping of things we sow. There's consequences that we have for our actions. I mean, you know, there's things that happen. But I'm a firm believer in this, that in whatever season we're in, God is faithful to get us through. You know, I talked to Charles a couple weeks ago on the phone, and we got that care package sent to him, by the way. So hopefully we'll get that soon. But, you know, Charles had a 7-year sentence in prison. That's a long season, 7 years. A lot changes 7 years. He'll be almost 30 years old when he comes out. And I've been telling him on the phone, I said, look, in this time you're in, take time. You got all the time in the world now to spend time with God. Take time to read that word. Take time to prepare yourself that when you get out, you wasn't in there for vain. You wasn't in there just for nothing. That you come out with something. That you've got something to come out with. It's a hard, long season. Aren't you glad none of you are in prison right now for 7 years? Man, I could imagine. Maybe your season don't look so bad now, huh? You know, there are some of you that are in pain every single day of your lives. I'm not, thank God. I rarely have any pain. Thank God for that. The only pain I have is sitting over there and I'm playing. I don't have no pain. Every season, we're in different places. If I could pass the mic around and everybody could be truly honest, there would be stuff that would, y'all's jaws be like that to hear the stories. We see Dee up here singing and smiling and, you know, Christian woman. But if you talk to Dee one-on-one, I bet you might say, you know what, wow, she's got some problems. She's got some storms, and she's not always real happy because of the battles of the enemy. All of us are going through something. But you know what? As we learn to trust God, here's something I just felt impressed by this right now. You got to let God close your season. Some of you aren't letting God close your season. You're keeping it open. And that's why you can't get out of it. I just felt that propped up right then. Let God close your... Somebody's going to hear that this morning. That's for somebody this morning. Let God, allow God to close your season. We're the ones keeping it open. And the reason we're still in it is because we've not let God close it. Close it. Let God close your season. And then a new one will come along. A better one will come along. It may seem impossible, but a better one will come along. You know, before I met Melanie, I met a girl I thought I was going to marry. And, I thought that was my life, my future. And God brought something to my awareness, and I tried to just ignore it. I tried to just press through it. I tried just to deal with it. But I kept getting checked, and I couldn't let it go. And so I had to go close that season. I didn't like to. I mean, you're talking about a guy. Now, I'm a sensitive guy. I mean, I'm not a whiny, tail, and I'm not, I'm straight, okay? I'm just saying, I'm a guy that can cry. Not ashamed to cry. Manly see me cry. My kids see me cry. Y'all see me cry in the church. When I went to break up with this girl, I'm 19 years old. I'm crying. Now, normally the one that's getting broke up with is the cryee, right? Not the one breaking up. I'm crying. TJ, I'm talking to this girl and I'm crying. I got to break up with you. I'm sorry. I got to break up with you. I just can't do it. I can't accept it. And I'm crying like a big fat baby. Well, I wasn't fat then, but like a baby. And so I get back in my car and come back home that night. That was in October of 91. Broke up with this girl. But I was going to marry her. So sad. I was grieved. I couldn't half eat, couldn't half work. I was a stalker at Food Line at the time. And I'd get talking on the aisle to people and crying there, stalking dog food. I broke up my girlfriend. It'll be okay, son. I mean, I'm sitting there like a baby. I was devastated. I started even questioning, okay, if I'm crying so much, should I have let it go? Maybe I didn't do the right thing. But I had to listen to that deep, deep, deep inner voice. Sometimes we got to get deep to hear it, right? I mean, deep. And I remember talking to Dad about it, I was all upset, and Dad said, son, don't worry, Said, God's got something for you better around the corner. So I held on to that. Yeah, thanks, Pop. So, I said, okay. So I cried for, a month or two. I really grieved. And January, this little ponytail, 110-pound little bebopper 17-year-old popped in Food Line to get a job. And 23 years later, the rest is history. But see, I had to close that season, church, or I would have made a mistake. If I had to try to force that and try to make that work, like putting a square peg in a round hole, you can make it work, but it ain't going to be pretty. I mean, you can beat on that thing all you want, but if it don't fit right, it don't fit at all. That's how it is. But I had to close that season. Then God sent me Melanie, and I knew the first time I talked to her, I'm going to marry her. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, boy, here you go again. No, I knew. See, the first time, it wasn't a feeling as much as it was just, I guess, a want or a desire. We were childhood sweethearts, and I met her again at her tent revival. And she was now 16, 17 years old. I'm like, ooh, she grew up. And so I had a former connection, an emotional connection. And I realized, looking back, that's really all it was. It was an emotional connection of just the past, of what I knew. It wasn't really love. But when me and Melanie talked that first time, we sat out in the parking lot at Food Line, her little Mercury Lynx, little red gold mine, we call it. And we would call it a gold mine. You had to have all the gold in the world to keep it going. And we were sitting in that car, and we started talking. And Melanie started sharing all this stuff with me, personal stuff. First, it started, she even said one time, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I don't even really know you. I said, I know why you're telling me. See, God knew I needed to hear. He prepared me to hear what she had to say. And I went home and told Mom I was going to marry that girl. Now, I broke up with her twice. But see, God wouldn't let me close that season like he did the first one, because that was meant to be. And I was a jerk. I admit that. I was a jerk. When I broke up with her, my own grandpa told me, you don't marry that girl. It's the worst mistake you'll ever make. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, Brent. I love you. I've been real good to her since. I mean, I'm good to her. I mean, you talking about a sugar daddy, I'm good to her. Got my pinstripe suit on, sugar daddy of daddies today, buddy. That's right. She told me that story since. She was going to come there in October and apply. But she didn't want to work there at that point. And so her friend kept pressing her, and 2 months later, or 3 months later, said that the time was right. The season was right. Because I would have looked at her, I would have looked at her, but I would have dated her if I still been with the other girl. Isn't that funny? Not how she looked, how she acted. What, the manager? Oh. I still got hair, singular. Oh, man. All right, church. Don't let this be the season you stay in. God will get you out. Just trust him. In God's time, it's going to work out. Lead with that. God's time, it's going to work out. Kenneth? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were wanting to say something. Y'all got a closeout song you do for the offering, Chuck? Y'all come on up and have something ready. How is Marlene doing, Kenneth? Good. Want to update the church. Y'all may not, everybody not know this. You know, she originally had an amputation from the below the knee, a couple months ago? Something like that. Well, they had to go back in and do another amputation from above the knee, a second one. And it was really a serious surgery. She's, 78 years old? So it's a very intense surgery. It takes a toll on a human body to go through a surgery like that. So I'm so thankful she's okay, rehab, doing well. And hopefully she'll be, you know, back home at some point and independent again. She's a very independent woman, so I know she is. So I'm glad she's doing good. Yes, Karina texted yesterday. She's said she wouldn't be here today. She's still not right, but she's doing much, much better. So just keep praying for her. She wants a prayer. She needs prayer. So do not forget our team meeting at 5 o'clock for 13 and up. And do not forget, I need some men with the table and chairs outside. Just take them out of the building right there. If you would, throw them in there. That would be, not throw them, but, you know, put them in there. That would be great. Brenda? Yeah. Amen. Awesome. Amen.
Can we also keep in prayers Chuck's or our nephew, Brandon? He leaves for Iraq Wednesday. This is his second tour. He'll be gone. Saudi Arabia? Yeah. So he'll be gone for a year.
He's in the Army or Marines?
In the Army.
Army, yeah.
Yep, just keep him in prayers.
Yeah, keep him in your prayers. Going a long way from home for a year. Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Whew, that was close. Yeah, let's remember her. I didn't remember telling me that, yes. It was on the couch. It was in the living room on the couch, yes. Right, Rockford, yep. All right. You laughing at me, D? we try to listen. We just kind of won't get right to the point. All right. Oh, ushers. I need some ushers up here. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Appreciate that, Don. That was not staged or prompted by me at all. So thank you. Yeah, I don't like talking about money. I like having that, so I don't like talking about it. Tony, help me out. Amen. It's a great purpose to give to the Lord and to give to his house. It is a very important part. I was so glad my parents taught me that principle. You know, I was looking back, maybe I'll talk about this, how she's not, there's many reasons for it, of course, and it's going to change soon. The season's about to end for us. But Melanie's not worked in about 14 months. And it's really amazing looking back how God has compensated and how that we could really, what we've lived on has been pretty miraculous, and how God has stretched that beyond, if you really look at the numbers of how God has stretched that, God's been in that. So I'm so glad my parents taught me that. They taught me that as a little boy. My mom, I used to have to do chores when I was a little boy. Ain't no kids in here, are they? I don't know if they know what chores are anymore. But I used to have to do chores, and my chore day was Friday. I had to come home, I had to do some vacuuming, and mom made me polish some of the furniture with that spray polish, you know, that's fumed up, and you polish the furniture. You know, I do little chores. And you know how much she paid me? $1. And that's back in the, you know, late 70s. $1. But back then, I would take my little dollar, and mama would tell me, now you got to give 10 cents to church. Put your dime in the church. So I would take the rest of my money. I'd walk up to that little gas station where I lived. I could get a pack of baseball cards. I could play one game of Pac-Man in the arcade and buy a candy bar. Get all that for $1 still. I know. I sure could. But mom trained me with that dollar, that a dime of that belonged to God. Now, that don't sound bad. I'll give a dime. But guess what? If your check's $1,000, what would be equivalent to a dime? $100. Well, if it's $5,000, what would it be? Right. So it don't sound bad giving a dime or a dollar. But, gee, man, I make good money. That means I want to. What's the same? It's the same. When I've got widows and fixed income people giving their faithful tithe on their limited resource, then there's others that have more resource but is not equivalent than some. That's why Jesus told a little woman, gave the 2 pennies, you gave more than all of them. Don't mean y'all get 2 pennies a day. Unless that's all you got. He says, she gave more than all of you. What do you mean, Lord? I put a scroll check in for 16 demerits or whatever, denarios or whatever it was called. No, that's Mexico, isn't it? Whatever it's called. I put all that in there. But she gave more, how? Because she gave all she had. She gave out of what, she just gave all she had. She sacrificed. Here's the deal. If you're not giving enough to God to be effective, it's not enough. If it don't hurt a little bit, it's probably not enough. Just to be honest. Gas is down now, so think, you know what? Gee, I ain't paying much for gas. I can give more to God now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Gas $2 a gallon. I filled my Jeep up for $38 the other day. I couldn't believe it. $38, my Jeep. It used to be $70. I'm like, wow. Of course, my Jeep's at the shop again, but it's not good when you're going down the road. It just cuts off, is it? I'm driving. It just shuts off. Yeah. So, anyway, that's okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. I got 2 good legs. By George, and I can walk. Or I can have Don come pick me up. I'm good. Whatever I need, I'm good. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you that you are in control of our seasons, of all of the times of our lives. And let us just trust you with that, God. And we may be in a bad place now, but we're not going to stay here. In your time, God, you are going to bring us out. In your time, there's going to be victory. In your time, there's going to be deliverance for your people. Thank you for that. That's our hope for our future, to keep being faithful to where we're at, trusting you're journeying us through each time of our lives. We ask your blessing on the offering, God, as we give out of a loving heart, obedient heart, and giving heart. We are sowing into your kingdom, into an eternal purpose. And I give you praise and I give you thanks. And all the church, including the babies, say, amen.